This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, presented by Premier Insurance Group, it's Shannon Sebastian with your Q on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Hello, everybody. Good afternoon. What a gorgeous, gorgeous Thursday it is today.
So it is a 9.95 out of 10, I'll tell you what.
9.95 on October the 5th, 2023. Yeah. Woo-woo. I'm Shannon Sebastian, and that's my partner in crime.
Still here, Alan Painter. Pleased to be here on this fall day. I love fall.
It's gorgeous.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing. It's cold enough in the morning to wake you up and get the blood pumping, and it warms up enough to let the old bones stretch a little more. It's like, fall is actually my favorite if it wasn't for the darn winter that follows it. It's like, ugh.
My mom just said the other day that fall's her favorite, too. So.
Oh, it is. Yeah. I don't know why the good Lord decided to put me here because, I mean, I do love it, but I hate the winter. Oh, I hate the winter.
Well, I mean, we're not even a severe winter, so.
I know. That shows you what a wuss I am. You know, but I would rather have 100 than wet. But, I know we need it. But, my wife hates it, too, because I just drive her darn near stir crazy, you know, when I'm sitting in there going nuts and got to do something. So
Got to get out.
And when I was young, we'd golf in the rain, the snow, and all that. But I'm starting to wimp out now, so.
Beautiful weather.
And a lot of things happening this coming weekend. I read about the Blocktoberfest. Just a lot of great things. So
a lot of stuff. And we're going to talk about that, some of that, today on the show.
All right.
Today we're going to celebrate, uplift, and educate. We're just like throwing it all in the pot and coming up with a fall soup of goodness.
Good, because we're not just going to sit here and let Alan get up on a soapbox and just holler at the people. So that means, Alan, shut up and let's move forward. So.
Well, I'm excited today. So we have Linda Jones Weber in the studio with us. So welcome, Linda.
Thank you.
And Linda has a lot of connections to Roseburg. So we're going to talk about that here in a minute. But she is the author of a new book called Finding Utopia, and is going to be doing a special event this weekend. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But Linda, tell us a little bit about your background or your history with Roseburg.
Oh my gosh, how far back do you want me to go?
Well, you go back as far. I know you've gone to school here, so let's talk a start there.
I did. I went to Roseburg schools from second grade in Riversdale school first. And it wasn't even in the school district when I went there. Four grades to a room, and clear through graduation from high school. And that high school graduation was in 1962, so over 60 years ago, and I've been back for every reunion every 5 years.
So is that, did you graduate from Roseburg High?
I did.
So Riversdale, was that out by the country club? Is that where the Grange is now?
Yes, that's where, it's not where the Grange is. The Grange is just down the road a little bit, but the school is right across from that little store.
Oh, yes.
Like where UCAN is at.
You know, high school, that was our land lab there.
Oh, yeah.
So isn't that neat? I didn't even know that was a school back then. So Riversdale. So how many folks can you know that went to Riversdale School out there?
I want to ask, how many were in your graduating class? Because they're ginormous now.
Oh, it was about 256.
That's a lot,
I think,
still.
Something like that.
That's good sized. I didn't know. My class was 8 at Umpqua Valley Christian. So we were very small. But and also, I know connections with your parents owned a very popular store here in town.
Well, my dad had the Umpqua Gun Store.
That's popular.
Very well known in the area.
And we like our Second Amendment.
He was very well known. Yeah, it was a hunter and a fisherman and a advice giver on where the fish were and when they were biting and what they were biting on and all that kind of thing.
Okay, that's the guy you need to know.
Yeah.
For sure. Well, that's excellent. And now where do you call home?
Well, I live in Sisters.
Oh,
now.
That's gorgeous.
Yeah, it's a real pretty community, small. I'm married to Dennis Weber, who is the son of Henry Weber, who with his brother Maurice started the Weber's Bakery. And that was a fixture for all of us growing up. Dale and I were talking about it earlier, how your memories are of the aromas.
Yes.
And the smells.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Down the street past the bakery.
Yes.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, my husband and I have talked about that. It's like when your childhood, sometimes a smell takes you right back.
Exactly.
Or you see a car and it takes you back to a certain.
Yeah,
yeah, it's just funny.
Well, that's why Costco pumps a smell out in the air. They're trying to hook you into those muffins, but absolutely. Smell is the biggest attractant.
Yes. Okay, so I would love for you to tell us a little bit about how did you decide to write the book?
Well, I didn't really decide to write the book. It's kind of a ghost story.
Oh.
I was familiar with parts of the story, at least things that I'd heard about my dad dying when he was just a little boy, but I didn't really know much about it. And one night I was on my way home from work in Portland in a blinding rainstorm. And all of a sudden, it was like somebody unzipped the top of my head and poured the scene in. And I knew something. I knew she eloped when she was 14.
She?
My grandmother. My
wow.
dad's mother. And all of a sudden, the whole thing, how she eloped, where she was, what it looked like, everything. And I just went home and started writing. And
that's crazy.
That is amazing.
I just wrote, but I didn't know anything about the area.
Wow.
I'd never been there. I didn't know the people. And it was a long, you know, I was about five chapters into this book that was just being given to me from out of the Ethernet. And I finally decided I needed to go to Utopia and see it for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so I took my dad, my mom, and my dad's sister, and we went to Utopia and found the house that my dad was born in and visited with a woman who had been a helper in the family and actually delivered my father into this world. And she was 90 years old when I met her. And, oh, my gosh, it was such an emotional experience. But the really freaky thing for me was everything I had written was exactly the way it was.
I thought I was just going to ask you, did when you went back there, was it like you felt like you already knew
deja
the place
vu.
Or this familiarity?
I did. I knew.
Yeah.
I mean, the trees were exactly the trees that I'd written about.
That's
the house that she eloped out of, I recognized immediately. And my dad had no idea about that. And I went up and knocked on the door and I asked, did Dr. Clark have his practice here? And the lady said yes. And I told her that that's where my grandmother lived as a child. Would she mind if we looked at it? And she said, oh, no, come in. Showed me through the house.
Oh, how nice.
And there, the window, the bedroom that she went out of when she eloped, the window right where it was placed, how far off the ground it was, the whole thing. It was just exactly like it had been given to me.
And at that point, you had written, what do you say, five chapters?
Five chapters.
So people, it was down in ink, you know.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I mean, don't tell me the Lord, good Lord doesn't whisper to us, you know. I mean, when she got that, you know, vision and was able to write it down, that must have been kind of scary, amazing to go out and see it.
It was, because I couldn't stop writing. I mean, I would, every time a new piece would come, I would just write it. But then after I visited Utopia and had multiple really weird coincidental experiences while I was there, not the least of which was meeting this woman who had been a helper in my dad's
right.
family.
Yeah.
I couldn't write a word. I came back to Oregon and I couldn't write a word, and I didn't write a word from 1997 until 2015. And in 2015, oh, wow, the last of my dad's siblings passed away. And in the night that I learned that he had gone, it was like somebody zipped open my head again and the rest of the story came and it just poured through me. I got up, went in the office, and started writing right in the middle of the night that night.
Wow, 23 years later.
Yeah.
That is amazing. Absolutely amazing. So, I mean, when you came back, I mean, you had five chapters written. Wasn't that frustrating that you couldn't? Where's the rest?
It was. And I took a class on writer's block and how to get past it and all that kind of thing. And they said, outline the story. And I could outline it up to a point. But then there was this place that I was just stuck. I didn't know why. I couldn't figure out why this guy murdered her. I just couldn't. I couldn't answer it. But I had had some hints given to me. And ultimately, not then, but later, was able to verify some of what I thought might have happened. Wow. From the hints I'd been given.
And folks, you thought this was just going to be your normal interview with an author about a book. Huh? No, this is definitely a double whodunit, the book and the author. So how awesome is that? That's I just can't imagine going down to Utopia, a place you've never been, and it felt like you were walking in the steps of your very walk.
I recognized everything.
Wow.
So yeah. In finding Utopia, how far in the journey do they get in, like, because you cover some of the traveling, right? Or their life. Like, are they... Because they eventually end up out here, since you're out here.
Well, you're asking me how far the family got, how far the story gets with the family?
Right.
It only goes to 1926, from 1917 to 1926. Now, my dad didn't make it to Oregon until the mid-1930s. Mm. So the period of time after the end of Finding Utopia goes through the Depression years, and they get to Oregon.
Gotcha.
So is the next book the continuation of that, or?
It is. It's a continuation. Surviving Utopia is the name of the second book, okay? Uh-huh. It's a continuation of Finding Utopia. The father and five motherless children leave Utopia. And what happens to them
you have to
over
the
those
book.
Next years is what Surviving Utopia is about.
So was it the same type of inspiration for the second chapter, or were you at that point, I'm a writer, I'm tackling this without any whispers in the dark?
That's exactly what happened. I didn't know if I would write another book, and then I realized that, yeah, I was. My dad had an incredibly interesting life, even after Utopia. Yeah. So that's where this one goes.
Well, we're going to talk more about all of this and what's going to be going on this weekend here after just a short break. So we'll be back with more of your Q here on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right. Welcome back to your Q. Shannon Sebastian and Alan Painter here. And we have Linda Jones Weber, author of Finding Utopia and Surviving Utopia, since we touched on that. I wasn't letting the cat out of the bag till you did.
And I hope she didn't bring in her ghosts along with her. You know.
And they sound nice. And Dale Greenlee, who is the vice president of the Douglas County Museum Foundation Board. So, Dale, welcome and glad to have you here. So,
it's my pleasure.
Yeah. So, we know you guys have a special event this weekend, and excited to share about that. So, at the museum, let's see, it's October 7th, this Saturday, correct?
Yes, from 4 to 6 p.m.
From 4 to 6 p.m. And Linda, you're going to be there for people to come meet and sign and all kinds of good stuff.
I will. I will autograph books for them. And when they buy a book, 100% of the proceeds from the sale of that book will go to the Museum Foundation toward the restoration project.
What a woman.
I know. What I see. This
what is, a blessing.
It's those Douglas County roots.
Absolutely.
So you mentioned restoration, but we didn't say of what. So Dale, I'm going to kindly have you chime in here a little bit for me. So there is the rail car at the museum that you have been doing some handiwork on. And so tell us a little bit about the restoration project and what the money will go for.
Okay, this rail car, we just call it a rail car, but it actually has some significance to Roseburg. It was built in 1882, the last of the wooden cars, and it spent its whole life on the O&C line between Portland and San Francisco. So it stopped at the very station, the depot, that it's parked at right now hundreds of times in its life.
So there was a depot there. I didn't know that.
Well, it wasn't. That depot was in Dillard.
Yeah.
We've moved it.
Right.
But, no, there were depots. There were probably, I'm going to say, at least 20 depots in Roseburg. The train used to stop in little places like Ruckels and Dole and
wow,
all these little places. And there was a stop at Edenbauer, which is between Winchester,
yeah,
and Roseburg.
Yeah.
And that's all been forgotten, but the train used to be a real integral part of our county in Roseburg. But this train is, this railroad car is significant because it's parked at a depot that it actually parked at in its life many times.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and people don't realize, they think it's just some random rail car.
Yeah.
But it started its life as a luxury passenger car, beautiful lacquered carved woodler, cut glass windows, and over the years it kind of slipped, slipped down. And when we got it, it had about five or six layers of old heavy lead based paint covering all this beautiful woodwork.
Oh goodness.
And it had been turned into a residence. People lived in there. The first thing I did was I had to tear a kitchen out. And we've been restoring it for about 5 years as we can get money to work on it with. And we have one end now. In 1914, they partitioned off the back end of it and turned it into a cargo, mail, baggage section. And the restroom was back there and there's a stove back there. And that's that part's about done. It looks pretty good. And
so that old car was just kind of transitioned through life. Because kind of like all of us, it started out real fancy and highfalutin and turned into a work car.
Yeah, and we're trying to return it to some of its highfalutin glory at the beginning. We won't be able to afford the cut glass windows, but as those were broken, they replaced them with etched glass windows. And that's what we want to go, we need still a set of those, and they're $300 a piece. And,
ouch.
And we need at least 20 of them.
Oh.
And so the money that Linda is raising for us is just greatly appreciated.
Oh, that's neat.
And also, we have a program. If you want to buy a window, we're going to have a plaque for people that donated $300 to buy a window.
I think we need to buy a window.
That's super
I think we'll be buying a window.
Yeah, I hope a lot of people buy windows, because even if we get too much for windows, the money will still go there, and we got lots of other places to use it.
Yeah. So you said this was somebody's house. I mean, how did
Well,
you know to track this puppy down?
What happened was the rail car degraded into what I think they called it a gang car for the last few years of its life, where they'd park it on a siding near where they were doing railroad repair work, uh-huh. and the gang would stay there, and they kept supplies. And this last gang site was in Glendale. And at that point, they sold it to somebody in Glendale, and they turned it into a house and lived in it. And then at some point in time, I should do some research and find out how they donated the car to us.
But, you know, how neat that it stayed in the area. I mean, if it would have left Douglas County, we'd probably have been lost to us.
Yeah, yeah. But it stayed here, stayed home, and now it's hopefully going to find a permanent home here.
Absolutely.
So, again, I want you to remind the listeners of the time and everything that they can purchase there.
Okay. It's Saturday the 7th from 4 to 6 p.m. at the Douglas County Museum. There's going to be refreshments and things there, and you'll be able to buy a glass of wine.
I was glad you got that out. I was about ready to go there.
And the wine's free.
Yeah.
Oh, it's free.
Everything is free.
Oh, okay. I wasn't aware of that.
Donations are gladly accepted.
And yes, please. Yes. Donations, even if for things other than the rail car, we're getting ready to start putting in a kind of a logging demonstration. That old donkey that sits out in front, we're going to get that re-rigged. And the guy has donated an old sawmill that we're refinishing now. We're going to put an old sawmill in there. And down below, we've got a big old industrial lumber planer, and we're going to move them all up there on that level with the yard or the donkey and make a neat logging display, and we're going to need money for that, too.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you, we had talked earlier. I mean, the museum is fantastic, and it is truly one of the best in the state. And I think it's something we all just take for granted. I mean, we've been there in grade school. Yeah, maybe we swing by. But it's one of those things like, it's there. I'll get to it next week. But the thing is, it changes too, doesn't it? So if you don't see it for a while, you've missed some stuff. Mm-hmm. And so you need to be stopping by a little more regularly. I know I'm guilty because I love history, so especially local history.
Yeah, we have the best nature dioramas on the West Coast, better than the ones, and that's not our opinion, that's from other museum directors who've seen, and it's the best museum on Interstate 5, and that's by not just us saying that, that's by popular acclaim among the museum directors and stuff, and
we're
proud of it.
Douglas County, we whooped some tail.
Yeah. You should be proud of it.
But unfortunately, Douglas County billed it when they were flush with money from the ONC.
Right,
and
yeah.
Now we don't have the money to maintain it, so that's what the foundations, we're trying to raise money to keep it at that level
and
keep
what,
going forward.
Those efforts are so greatly, greatly appreciated. You know, I mean, it is so critical that we not forget our past. And our local history has changed so much, even from when I was growing up. And so we have to remember what made us who we are, what made us special.
Yeah. You know? Douglas County is a pretty neat county, and we're proud of it.
Well, Linda, I want to come back to you here for a second before we go, because,
okay.
I want to say thank you for what you're doing for the museum. That's very generous.
Amen.
And kind.
Yeah, I
didn't
get to say
the that. Second thing is, I know that you have ways that people can purchase the book if they want to, if they can't make it, or if they just are interested and or you piqued their interest today. So could you tell us how people can find your book?
Well, I have a website, Novelist. It's www.novelistlindaweber, and there's information there. Also, all the usual suspects, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, local booksellers, bookbaby.com, and those are the places that most people will go to buy the book.
I'd like to add that the reviews on the book were phenomenal. I went out and read, and they are just positive reviews. So get out there and get yourself a copy.
But if you get a copy, and you don't come Saturday, then it's going to be hard to get her autographed. So everybody should come Saturday and get a book and get it autographed and help out the museum, all of it together.
Win, win, win.
Win, win, win. Love it, love it. Thank you for traveling here from Sisters today to be with us and for being at the museum this weekend and doing that. Your generosity has not gone unnoticed.
It's great to be able to do something for my hometown.
Yes, and we're glad we are your hometown.
Yeah. So. Amen.
So thank you so much. And Dale, thank you for everything that you do, and I'm excited to see the work that happens on the rail car. So.
Yeah, we plan on having it open for this event, so if people want to go out and take a peek, it's not done, but you can see what we're doing anyway.
And kind of get to see the before and after.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And see the before and after. Well, that's super fun. Well, thank you both for coming on and sharing about the story and how that came to fruition, and Dale, again, for giving us that little extra history lesson on the rail car system around here. So very appreciative. Well, it's about that time for the local business buzz, and I see the big guy looming around out here from time to time. So we're going to go to break here, and we'll be back in just a few moments with the local business buzz. Carlos is in the house. Back in a moment.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, welcome back. And it's that time for the Local Business Buzz, sponsored by Umpqua Survival. And it's the first Thursday of the month, so you know what that means.
Big dog in the house.
Big dog's in the house. Carlos, how's it going?
It's going good.
Okay, so I'm going to share that Carlos had invited me to the tip this morning, which he is the president.
No way.
We got the president in the house.
It's way more glamorous than it sounds. Okay. Way less glamorous than
dude,
it sounds.
You had a name badge and everything. It's legit. It is seriously legit. So I got up early and curled my hair to go do this. And what a delightful, wonderful group of people. And it was so fun to hear people share and give testimony about each other's, I guess they'd say references or
testimony.
Things that they
had
told,
was it a like a Bible group?
They're like, thank you for coming out and checking my tree that could have smashed my house and isn't going to because you came out. And like super cool stuff. It was really nice. And everybody was chipper, you know, for early in the morning. And anyway, so thank you for the invite.
No, we were happy to have you. You're a great speaker, by the way. Thank you.
Thank you. Little bit of tears.
You?
I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah, you're underutilizing her.
Holy smokes.
It was funny. But anyway, the great group of people. So I want to say thank you to LaTip, and I look forward to having some of them on the Local Business Buzz, because that's what we were out there doing, was saying, hey.
You were saying, hey?
This is what we're doing, and we need you to come on here and tell us your story. Well, they're all locally owned and operated businesses.
That's our people.
Why aren't they on here?
They're our people.
They're going to be now.
Well, the reason they're not on here is we got lines of people. Man, this bit is such a great segment. And so thank you, Carla, and everybody down there for sponsoring it, because it's been a blast.
I love it.
It is fun. So what's new on Diamond Lake Boulevard, at the end of Diamond Lake Boulevard, that?
And don't say nothing.
Well, no, things are picking up. It's you know, hunting season's coming up, and so we're starting to have a lot more traffic in. You know what's weird, though, is a lot of people don't realize it, but part of my job is dealing with people's estates.
Yes, I wanted to have you say that to me.
And so for whatever reason here in the last month and a half, I mean, it's like every day someone's calling me about another estate. And you know, for the most part, they bring the stuff into us and we'll put it on consignment and try and sell it for them or whatnot. But once in a while, I'll have a customer who can't make it in or doesn't feel comfortable moving firearms or whatever, you know. And I'll go out and look at what they've got, give them an idea of what I could sell it for. And in some cases, even make them an offer to just purchase it so that they don't have to mess with it. And, you know, it's it's pretty good opportunity for us to help the community, because you don't realize how many people get thrown into that position where they've got to get rid of that stuff, and it's overwhelming. You know, they're already dealing with being overwhelmed by losing someone, and then they've got to deal with, you know, and not everybody's comfortable with firearms, and I understand that.
Yep.
And so I'm happy to help people out with that. So
well, and the state hasn't made it any easier now, where you're supposed to do background checks even when you give them to a family, but you know.
Well, unless it's direct family. If it's direct family, you can just gift it to them.
But, you know, and that's the thing, again, you know, because I know you guys aren't making hardly any money on when you can sign in a firearm. So, but that's a service that they do for our community. I mean, take that gun over to Bi-Mart and see if they'll sell it for you, you know. So,
not.
I mean, and they're so fair down there. You know, if you don't have a clue, you guys have the you know, tools to look up and see what that firearm is worth, so you can get a fair price. But you know, because you also don't want to overprice it so it doesn't sit there forever and they don't get it sold. So, but you know, that's what local businesses do for our community. So anyway.
Yeah.
Well, what I got out of it this morning when you were sharing that was like, oh, I got to ask him about that on the radio today. And two was, you might have quite a bit of a selection right now from this.
Oh, yeah, I have a backup gun rack in the back of the building.
No.
That I don't like to bring out because it doesn't look very nice.
But dude.
We almost don't have a single slot left in the store right now.
You need to text me, man. It's like, I got to be honest. I've been really busy. I haven't been down there probably the week
before last.
You've been busy
chopping your finger off, it looks like.
I did try to chop my finger off. It ain't pretty. Yeah. It's like, ugh.
It's not pretty.
Yes, yeah.
I call it the Franken finger.
You hear that, folks? Jiminy Christmas.
Carlos.
Yeah. So, again.
That was radio profanity.
Exactly.
Yeah, back to my finger. I do want to apologize to all Roseburg, because I live up across from the fairgrounds, you know, up on the mountain.
You might have heard the echoes.
You may have heard these F-bombs echoing over. You might have heard them out in Winchester. So for all of you out there by the dam, I apologize.
It hurt.
So, but anyway, consignment, and, you know, they do a lot of it. What's really cool is it leads to a turnover in inventory, and you get to see some of the craziest things you've never seen. Just a month or two ago, they had a little machine gun 22. It was amazing. Who's texting me? I'm on the radio.
That's actually still there, so I know.
No! See, they're trying. I want it so bad, but it's.
It's a little 22 caliber Gatling gun, basically.
Oh, it's
was
so.
Was that at the range that day we did the range takeover?
No, it wasn't.
There was some wild stuff there, so I wasn't sure.
And that's what's cool. Some old stuff, some new stuff, some unique stuff. It's like going into a garage sale. You know how you never know what's going to be there. And, mm-hmm. and it's really fun to see. I mean, you see some stuff that maybe some gun craftsmen have worked on, and some of the most gorgeous pieces, you know, for even as artwork. So
well, and the other thing that it does is it makes it so that I have stuff for just about anyone's budget.
Range.
We end up with some very, very inexpensive things. And then obviously there's some very expensive things too, but there's something there for everyone's budget. So
yeah, and if you need to get something because we got a deer season coming, like hello, that's and happening.
Is that like, this weekend?
Everybody's leaving town for it this weekend. So
not me. I have to stay for my granddaughter's birthday party.
Oh, that's a good grandpa.
Do you do licenses?
Yeah, we do hunting licenses and tags.
I'll be down.
Although now, unless you're not computer savvy, you can do it all right on your app on your phone.
So nice on the app.
Yeah, no, but I have a tradition. You got to go the day before, right before all the stores close, and you know, sweat it out.
Yeah. And wait in line for hours.
Yeah, absolutely, wait in line with all your buddies down at Payless.
No, you know, we don't even have Payless anymore. You're dating yourself.
No, I was. I was kind of walking down memory. We had the history, people. I'm kind of in reminiscing mode.
We
kind of
need to put you in the museum at this point.
What you talk about?
I'm sassy today.
Yeah, it's like, what you talk about, Willis?
I thought I saw his picture in there.
Yeah. It's like, now everyone's saying, who the heck is Willis?
So what about any classes coming up? I mean, you always have something going on.
I do have some classes coming up. I didn't come prepared, so I don't have my calendar in front of me.
That's okay. We can
do that in a minute. We are kind of toning down a little on the classes just because they haven't been getting real full, so we're doing just like two of them a month
right
now. And
hunting season. So
this is our slower time of year for classes, so we've just kind of, with the holidays and whatnot.
Yeah, and football. Football season, you know.
People do slow down and are out doing things because we do that for OHA too. They don't do their meetings for like 2 or 3 months just because you can never get a full group.
Well, we're still doing classes. We're just not doing as many.
Yeah. As many.
In January, usually we'll ramp back up to a whole bunch of classes again because that's when things seem to get busy.
Well, it is crazy because even at the golf course, you know, it's like the best time in the world to play golf. You know, course is an amazing condition and nobody plays golf. It's just because everybody's running around doing 100,000 different things, you know. So anyway, but it's time to get your firearms ready and get out there and get some meat in the freezer or, you know.
Yeah, seriously.
But get out there and check out some of the unique firearms. And, of course, you're well-stocked with the ammunition.
Yeah, we've got a lot of, especially hunting ammo right now, we've got a lot of it. So
that's nice. So tell us about the gun for the month. What's October? Yeah. What's happening
there? So October's gun giveaway, we're giving away, it's an Anderson AM-15 AR-style rifle, 5.56 with a bunch of extras.
And swag.
Yeah, a bunch
of
swag.
You always add swag.
And all the proceeds are getting donated to Wreaths Across America.
Oh, nice.
Their goal is to make sure that every veteran's headstone has a wreath on it.
Mm-hmm.
Kills me. Yeah. This one just gives right to my heart.
John does a lot of work.
And they just focus on Douglas County with what we give them just goes right to this.
But I want to thank you for that because it's the sad part about these things is you see it in the paper or you hear about it, but it's always during the Christmas season. It's after the fact. And, you know, that's something that's so special. But they need money, and they need it before it. And so that's really neat that you guys are stepping up. And again, another veterans organization that you guys have blessed. And in turn, you bless all of us. So, and I know you hate it. I know you hate to get props, but you deserve them. You guys are fantastic. And kind of the epitome of what our businesses are about in Douglas County.
Yeah, I would really encourage people, if John or any of the cadets approach you about raising money for that, is... honestly, like we've talked about it before, Alan, Kara Coughlin with the Fallen Outdoors always follows up afterwards and gives us pictures of the events and outcomes and just really cool seeing where the money goes, you know, when Premier's donated. And John did the same thing, but with a book.
Yeah, I got a little copy of that book, too. That was awesome.
Oh, it is amazing. Neat. Honestly, I just feel like...
So help me. Who's John?
John Pearson. Comes in, and he made the book with the...
Oh, yeah.
Where it had the drone and the pictures of the ceremonies and all the stuff. It was so amazing.
It really, you know, even if you can't be part of it, to be able to be a part of it, you know, and I know so many of our customers have liked looking at it when they come in, so.
Yeah, we have it out front.
Well, what you said is true, and I've figured that out a lot over the years from, you know, volunteering and helping different things, is a lot of these organizations and events and fundraisers and stuff you don't even know about till after the fact when people are posting pictures and thank yous and whatnot. So you really kind of have to put a little legwork in yourself to find them, to help them.
Right.
Because, they're going out, but they're focusing on where they think the for sure help is. And they'll skip right over the guys that they think, you know, I don't want to ask them for money. They probably can't afford it or whatever. And every little bit helps them, and they're so
absolutely
appreciative. Yeah.
Well, it's like that. I didn't know that we could give money just for Douglas County. It's odd because it is a national organization. Mm-hmm. And I tell you what, yes, we're hit a lot. Carlos, I can't imagine how many times people knock on your door. But we will do whatever we can. You know, yes, it's a donation, but it's an investment for us as a business, too. And we love, you know, love investing in our community. And so I want to find out who's doing Reese because we got to give that. I guess we bought a window on a caboose in our earlier segment. So now we'll buy some Reese on a cemetery.
Oh, goodness.
This show is getting me expensive, but it's good fun.
Good fun.
Good fun.
All right. Well, it's time for a break, you two. So we're going to be back more with Shannon, Alan, and Carlos here on Your Cue in just a moment.
That's a nice way for her to say, Alan, shut up.
Yeah, Alan, shut up.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Welcome back to Your Cue, and it's our time with the big dog in the house. So, Carlos, thanks for hanging out.
Oh, yeah.
Always a good time. So, Carlos brought me a winner for the $25 gift certificate. I know by that tone and the way I just did that, you already know what you know. And yes, it's another lady.
What, it's been 14 in a row?
I don't know. But I did not draw this, Carlos, right? Because Ellen just like swears I have some mojo.
I will tell you, right before I came here, I sold a hunting license and tag to a lady who paid with a gift certificate from forever, like one of the first gift certificates that we
got. Oh, how funny. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
All right, it wasn't Christy.
Well, you know, I still have my my gift certificate. It was a cool coin. Do you still do those?
I've got a few left, but nobody ever brings them in.
I ain't going to spend it. It's way too cool. I'm keeping it.
Oh, well, you can take it and put it at your display at the museum. Yeah.
So who's the winner? Who's the woman? That
Sandra Murray.
Sandra?
Sandra?
You sure it's not Sandra?
Well, it has a U in it, so I'm giving it a Sandra? Little extra something.
Sandra.
So Sandra?
So
we'll call you and let you know. Congratulations, and thank you to Carlos for the $25 gift certificate to Umpqua Survival. And go get your hunting tag with it. There you go, yo.
And I want a camera on that box because something's going on. Something's going on. I think, you have no more girls working there, right? Right now, do we have any?
Z's still there.
That's right. I think what's happening is the boys are ripping up all the men's, and they're trying to get dates.
Oh, gravy. Okay, well, their wives aren't going to appreciate that, so sorry about that.
All right, so much for that hypothesis.
No.
But there's a conspiracy afoot, folks. There's no way that women could be winning this much without somebody tilting the scale of justice.
Okay, well, this is a lady's writing, but sometimes I feel like the husbands go in and they're like, I'm going to double my chances and put my wife down. But this is literally a woman's penmanship. So.
But this has happened so much. This is like almost getting like to Trump-like injustice.
Well, and honestly, you don't know how many times like I'll have a husband and wife in, and the husband almost always makes the wife fill out all of the stuff that they enter because they say she's the one with all the luck.
That's what Jeffrey would say. If
I do
somewhere.
Do that too. Yep, I'll buy a roll of tickets. You know, at some of these things says, I will only buy these if you'll fill them out because I can't write.
I enter so many of them. I had a stamper made with my name and phone number. Like I just stamp everything.
Stamp.
My
stamp.
Wife said it's embarrassing, but you know, it saves me time.
You know, they get writer's cramp.
We need to say a belated happy birthday to Sarah. So
she'll like that.
Yes, and well.
29 again, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
you're so lucky.
He is lucky. Sarah's awesome.
My gosh, how did you marry such a fine woman that puts up with your shenanigans?
I ask myself that all the time.
She asks
herself. I think it was one of those cases. She was blind for the first 20 years of her life, and
gravy.
She had surgery, and she says, oh, that's it?
You're,
well, I guess I'm stuck now.
Carlos is a catch. They're
keep
both
the bar
very lucky.
Set low.
Okay, I've heard that twice out of you today.
Oh, darn it, we're almost done again.
I know.
Were we here last week?
Yeah.
Feels like we've been here for. Can we get an update for people who've been following?
On Owen.
Yes.
And Gavin. So I can do a quick update. So my grandson is progressing and so is my son. We have huge prayers out there. They are working. Don't stop. Keep them coming. And he actually may get out of the trauma unit this weekend and get put into a lesser of, a more permanent hospital room. But
and he was off his breathing machine for a short time.
He did actually 13 hours, which is his number. So that kind of had double significance for us. Gavin's healing slowly, but well. And everybody else is doing well. So we're just still keeping positive and light and good energy in the room. And
And
kid's a fighter. He's a champion.
And I wanted to touch on that because people, it was your prayers that carried it through.
Absolutely.
And so please, 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 you know, they're still fighting up there.
Yep.
You know, they're still fighting. And so I want everybody just to please keep praying because we're witnessing it. We're seeing it work. So thank you for all that.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
It is. It is. And we'll keep you posted. We're private about some things, but we know people are praying and they want to know what to keep doing. So we're just one day at a time.
And we got to give glory to God so everybody can see that your prayers are working, the Holy Spirit's working.
It is no doubt.
Thank you.
Yes. Carlos, again, thank you for the invitation to La Tip. I appreciated that. That was fun morning out there with you guys. So
yeah, you're welcome anytime.
Thank you.
And I'll see you here in about 4 minutes, now that I didn't know we had such an overwhelming gun inventory.
Actually, you just want to peek at the ones that the public can't see. We know you think
And Angie, I'm going to get dinner. I'm not going to Carlos's. I was just joking. So...
All right. Well, thank you, everybody. Go check out the all the goodies at Umpqua Survival. Get stocked up for deer season. Blocktoberfest. Go out to the museum. And until next week, you know what to do. Be kind, Douglas County.
And God bless you all. And bless you for your prayers. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Yeah. Thanks, Carlos.